All right, we're going to do a teaching, and we'll finish this, and I have another teaching, and we'll just, whatever time I have, we may make this other one two parts. But the name of this teaching is called Be Strong in Your Spirit. Being strong in your spirit is your best defense against attack. God never said in His Word to be strong in body or flesh. Satan, we have seen throughout the New Testament, would have you focus solely on your flesh. We see this clearly in this passage of Scripture. We're going to look over at Matthew chapter 6. I think that's why some people fail so miserably in their Christian walk is because they are trying to do the Christian way in their flesh, and you just can't. It's not a flesh walk. It's a spirit walk. Spirit walk. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you of you a little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, view the world around you. The world's focus is on improving the mind or the intellect and taking care of the body, and leaves little or no room for the real you, the spirit, the hidden man of the heart. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. The first focus on, even in the church, is, I mean, I've been in churches where they had exercise classes. You know, back when I had, which I was going to talk about this later, but I think I'm supposed to do it now. Back 4 years ago, I had a really bad fall, and I've always been one that worked out. And when that happened, I couldn't work out anymore. And I remember it was just a very, very hard time because I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't even use my right arm, my left arm. But the Lord, everything that the Lord had me do was something having to do with the Spirit. And today, I don't have any problem with my arm or my foot. I hurt my foot too, but it got well pretty quick. But I can remember praying in the Spirit. We'd gone to see the kids, and I just turned over on my side, and I prayed in the Spirit all the way home. And whenever I got home, I needed to wash my hair, and I could extend my arm further than I could, because I was imagining myself using my arm. Now, it's been a long road back, but God did that. The night of the accident, my body went into shock, and I remember Danny asking me, you want me to take you to the hospital? And I said, no. And I remember laying there, and I was crying. I was so upset, and I was hurting. And I started shaking, couldn't quit shaking. The Holy Spirit just rose up in me and said, speak to it. Tell it to stop. I did. And it did. And even though it was a grievous thing to go through, and I never want anything like that again, the Lord was teaching me, you can trust me, because most Christians would have run to the emergency room. Probably spent thousands of dollars in surgeries and medications and therapies, and probably still, till the end of their life, it wouldn't be the same. So the Lord is trying, through all these years we've been in the house anyway, from what I can understand, the Lord is trying to teach us to walk by the Spirit. We are spirit. I remember before Mama passed away, she was asking me about death. And this was before I knew she was even sick. And I remember saying, Mother, I said, I had a jacket on. I said, I took my coat off and threw it on the bed. I said, that's death. People that have hesitations or, you know, they died and went to heaven, they'll tell you, I didn't realize I wasn't in my body. Just 1 minute I was, and the next minute I wasn't. So the real you is the spirit man. The real you. The eternal spirit is the real you. Okay, 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Okay, he's talking about women being quiet, but he's talking about the hidden man of the heart. That's the real you. You're a spirit. You live in a body. It's like you see these snails out there. Snails. Your body is like that shell on that snail. It clothes the spirit. It gives you authority in the earth because, you know, gives you authority in the earth. If you didn't have a body, then you'd be a spirit. You'd be, you know, to be out of the body is to be present with the Lord. So your body gives you a right to rule in the earth. But it's just your coat. It's just your clothing of the spirit. Jesus said this. This is John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus didn't operate from his flesh. He operated from his spirit, and the words he said were spirit and life. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is a spiritual force. It's not a natural one. You cannot work faith in the flesh. I guess there is natural human faith, maybe, but we're talking about the spiritual walk here. Faith is a force of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, actually. Yeah. Okay, faith is of the Spirit. We're not to ask the Lord, oh, please make me strong. He has required that we be so. So, how do we do it? Ephesians 6 tells us how to do that. This is 6:10. I wasn't even going to do this teaching until next week, but then I thought better of it later. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Sounds like a command to me. And in the power of his might. How do we do that? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we know the armor of God is the word of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. You know, I just saw something. We're not battling sicknesses and diseases. Our war is against principalities and powers. The liars that bring the false evidence that appears real. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on their breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, it's the word of God that renews the mind, that puts this armor in place. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. It talks about prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I don't think there's anything that builds up the Spirit more than praying in the Spirit. Okay. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's like Peter said, don't think it strange as a spirit man that these things would come against you. But the whole body of Christ is subject to this. We all go through this. This is the warfare. God is a spirit. We've been made in His image and His likeness. So when we become born again, we're to walk as He walked. Now think about that. Putting your flesh in a proper perspective, because so much of the time our flesh gets the most attention. It's like a spoilt brat kid at the grocery store. Because I see them all the time when I go to the grocery store. Just wants what it wants, and it throws a fit when it doesn't get what it wants. Okay, John 4. Jesus tried to explain to the woman at the well. She was into fleshly observances, which was what the old covenant was, because they died spiritually. They could not, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, so they could have salvation. So the only thing they had was a bunch of rules and regulations that God knew was impossible for them to keep. But He wanted it to be so impossible for them to keep that when Jesus, the Messiah, came, they would graciously embrace salvation. That was His problem with the religious leaders. They were so steeped in that they could not see the spirit of it. All they saw was the fleshly works. And of course, they merchandised on it. It was a deep state around then, too. All right. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not his disciples, he left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So he listened, Spirit made the shots, told him to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Thus saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's telling her about a new way that's coming when God would live inside of them. That it would be no more the Samaritans going to their mountain or the Jews going to their temple, that it would be our spiritual act of worship is what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. submitting to God's will and doing God's will, walking by the Spirit. We see here that Jesus is talking to the woman about a spiritual walk and spiritual worship. All before were failures, only the natural and physical that could be practiced. That's all they knew. The Lord is trying to get us to quit looking and living so much in the natural. Your body is like your car. It has to have gas and oil, and it motors us around. This is what the body is for your spirit. The power of the real you is the spirit inside you. We are not to be flesh-ruled, but spirit-ruled. That's what the Lord's been saying to you for weeks. Listen in here. Don't let out here affect. Don't let out here affect you so much. If you were in the grocery store on Friday, you were thinking, I just walked into the Twilight Zone. People, long lines, no toilet paper. And I think about that. I'm thinking about the coronavirus, and here there's supposedly 50 have died in the whole nation. That's only one person per state. And people are acting like Armageddon. When thousands upon thousands upon thousands die of the flu every year in this country, and nothing's disrupted. I mean, I'm thinking, Looney Tuneville. The flesh just reacting. Way back, the Lord gave me a teaching. Reacting is going on all over the planet, all the time. Christians reacting to their circumstances. When, God? When are you going to do something, God? Well, he's saying, well, when are you going to do something? I'm resting. I did it all already. I told you now to do something about it. I gave you authority to do something about it. I live inside of you. Greater is he that's in me than this, what we saw on Friday. Like I said, it's been funny seeing all the people making funnies about toilet paper. One of them was a forest and was talking about this elusive creature that we just don't ever see, and it's a lone roll of toilet paper out in the forest. Just going, you know, I would rather see that than somebody on there fear-mongering, making a joke out of it. A guy on the sidewalk scoring $60 for a roll of toilet paper and a little bottle of hand sanitizer. I mean, they're having a good time with it. That's what we need. We need to have a sense of humor. This too will pass. Okay, your body is like your car. It has to have gas and oil in it. It motors you around. This is what your body is for your spirit. The power of the real you is the spirit inside you. We are not to be ruled by the flesh, but by the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about that. A natural reaction is not going to really probably gain you anything. It'll just get you upset. This I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You having a flesh problem? Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. So they're like this, they're fighting all the time. Isn't it going to be great when that part of it's gone? But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are extremes here that we're seeing, extremes in the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So what's the Lord saying here? If we'll get used to looking to our spirits and not letting the flesh just take charge. Don't let the car drive you. You drive the car. That's what the government's trying to do. The car drives you. You don't drive the car anymore. Mine started that mess the other day, braking. If you get up close to somebody, it starts breaking you and slowing you down, you know? I don't like that. I said, devil, get out of my car. Control. The flesh wants to control. The spirit has to overrule. Tell your body how it's going to be and move on. Shut up and get in line. Don't fight with your body, instruct it. Now listen to this, it'll help you. Would you go out and fight with your car all day? How about the clothes you're wearing? I mean, it seems silly, think about it, but let me read that again. Don't fight with your body, instruct it. Would you go out and fight with your car all day? How about the clothes you're wearing? It's just clothing. The flesh is just clothing for your spirit. The real you is the spirit. Your body is not the real you. Isn't that how Father handled things? Isn't that how Jesus handled things? He just went about saying this and that and spoke this. Go take care of that. Let's go to the other side. He didn't get ruffled. Now the disciples did. They went to pieces a few times. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Mark 4, 35. We need to get in a habit of doing this. And I believe as we get in a habit of doing it, because our flesh has been used to being babied and pampered. And we just, how do I put it? We make allowances for the spoilt brat body. It's like you make allowances for a bratty kid. Just give it something. Make it shut up. Instead of taking charge and saying no. And our spirits become strong and the ones that rule. Because we are the ones in charge. We just need to get in the habit of it. Instead of just being bad about with every circumstance that comes. James talks about the double-minded man. Two ways of thinking. Something happens and the flesh starts reacting. Okay. 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Just a statement. No screaming, no yelling, no arguing. This is what we're going to do. That's how you handle a bratty kid. I said, get in the car. I said, do this. Now, I've watched my grandson, and he don't listen to anything. But I tell you what, I can look at him. He stops in his tracks. Nana's got the bruff over on him. I had to do it Christmas. I told him to do something. Before you know it, here he's ripping through, doing it again. And I stopped, and I looked at him, and he's backed up. Boop, 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 boop. Well, we have to do our body the same way. Nope. Don't you start acting up like that. I'm the one in charge here, not you. All right, Luke 8, 22. I remember Dr. Dobson, you know, he's got all the books on discipline and the strong-willed child. And he said, I remember this woman as a kid. She had four or five kids, and they'd be in the backyard. And she'd come outside on the back porch and just scream at them. They didn't pay her no mind. They never heard a word she said. Everybody's like, how did you get them to do anything? Have to take authority. Authority to me is just quiet. It's just strong. It's just quiet. Eight, it's not screaming and ranting and raving and, oh, I got to do all this stuff. No, it's not. I am doing my best to discipline myself. When I lay down and go to sleep, I'm saying, this is how it's going to be. You go right to sleep. You will not wake up. And when you get up, when the alarm goes off, you will be refreshed. So let it be written, so let it be done. Play the Yul Brynner if you have to, but make sure you call the shots. Weren't you to speak to your mountains? Weren't you to speak to circumstances that you didn't like and say, be removed, be cast into the sea? This is what I want. Didn't Jesus say, you can have whatever you say, anything you ask in my name, I'll do it? When are we going to start acting like that? That's really the truth. Well, you know, it works for them, but I don't know. You know, they've been doing this a long time. A baby can do this. A baby in the Lord has as much authority as you do. All right, come on. Let's get it today. All right. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. He said to them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as he sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And there they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Here I am. I'm tired. I mean, I'm tired. I'm so tired that the wind and the storm and the wave didn't even wake me up. And you come over here and wake me up. Where is your faith? Haven't you been hearing anything I've been saying all this time? I've been with you. You see me do it, but when are you going to do it? Okay, Psalms 147. And if you'll get in the habit of doing this, your body will finally realize they really mean it, don't they? And your body will start conforming. Mm-hmm. See, it's used to getting its way. Yeah. Psalms 147:10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. It's not by your might and power. By the power of the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's Zechariah 4:6. How many times a day do we say or think, I feel, but I feel. Well, I need to go do this, but I feel. But I don't want to. That's your body. That's your flesh saying, I don't feel like it. Since when does that have anything to do with anything? It doesn't. You cannot let your feelings, nothing more than feelings, control your life. Okay. Oh, if I could just feel better. Oh, if I felt better about my job. Or if my finances looked better, everything would change. No, it wouldn't. You'd still have the same old spoiled brat flesh to deal with. Why do you think the Lord allows these things to come into our lives? He wants to see what we will do about them. He wants to see what we will call them. He wants to see if we would grow up and we begin to walk by the Spirit in power and might instead of falling apart, blubbering in the floor. Oh, I just got to have a breakthrough. Why don't you just take charge right now and say this? All the screaming and yelling ain't going to get any results. I know because I've tried it. Didn't work. When I first started going through this about 10 years ago, I can remember just sitting and crying. I can remember being up in the middle of the night crying. I mean, bitterly crying. God, help me. Please help me. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what's going on. I never got any answers to those kind of prayers. But later on, sitting calmly reading my word, I might get a scripture. On and on it goes. Then my family would just get in gear. You know, there's all kinds of excuses why we don't take authority, why we don't take charge. Okay. All right, it's a trap. Okay, let's look at a few other things. This is Acts. This is the word strong in the New Testament. Acts chapter 3. Is this helping anybody today?
Yeah.
Okay. Acts chapter 3. We just need, it's like being a policeman. We need to get into the mode of giving orders. Because that's what policemen do. You know, that's what they do. Are they, no. We have the gun, we have the badge, but we just have to say, no, this is what's going to be. No, we don't want that. No, no. Don't even think about it. I know how you deal with bratty kids. And that's how you have to deal with the flesh, because that's the way that the flesh acts. Acts 3:16. And his name, this is a man that got healed at the gate. And his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All right, the word faith there means confirm or solidify. Okay, we're going to keep going here. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That word there, strong, means empower. That's what faith does. That's what a faith declaration is. It's saying the way it's going to be. Period. Okay, Romans 15:1. Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That is, this word strong there means powerful, capable, and possible. All right, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit like men, be strong. That means increase in vigor. Well, to me, vigor talks about the flesh. A strong spirit will give the vigor to the body that you need. It's from the empowerment's from the inside out, not the outside in, like the world system. It's outside in. Supplements, medicines, eating regimens, exercise. It's all from the outside in. It's just the opposite of God's way. It's from the inside out. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, this is Paul, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, talking about body weak, then I'm strong. See, the flesh and the spirit can't rule together. If I were to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Because if our body is strong, that's why, think about Moses. He was mighty and powerful in Egypt, but God sent him to the backside of the desert for 40 years to where he couldn't even talk. It's because God wants to get glory. He can't glory in men's flesh, not in the strength of a man's legs. He's not impressed by that. But he's impressed by those that will be strong in spirit and follow the Lord. Let him get the glory. Let him call the shots. There's times I thought, Lord, why didn't you use me back whenever I was strong, looked better? Because it's not about that. It's about him getting glory. Looked better, felt better, everything. You know what I'm saying? All right there, that word. It means powerful, capable, and possible. Okay, Ephesians 6:10. That word strong. Be strong in the Lord means empower. 2 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, Paul talking to Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That word there in the Hebrew, Greek, it means empower. Hebrews 5:14. Beats, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is the spirit, this is the one strong in spirit. Strong meat. That word strong there means solid and stable. All right, Hebrews 11:34. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. That word strong there means empower. I thought about David. By thee, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. This is supernatural strength. Like that rose up and killed the lion and the bear and killed Goliath. Not the strength of a man's legs. 1 John 2:14. All right. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That word there, strong, means forcible. I love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby ye know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same shall not hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in God and in the Father. So he wants us to be strong, because if we go the way of the flesh, you see what it does. And you see whose realm and reign that is. The Antichrist. Okay, we're nearly done. You see here that it is a strong spirit that sustains the man. There's no way that Jesus' flesh alone could have endured the cross. Humanly, he could not have endured the cross just as a natural man. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit is one that's smitten and afflicted. Okay. I already told you the story about my arm and everything and what I went through. As I was doing it yesterday, the Lord brought this up. He said it's like physical therapy, but it was spiritual therapy. Praying in the Spirit. It was mainly praying in the Spirit that got me through. I knew it would be a road back. And I kept trying to exercise it, and the Lord would rebuke me. I got an angel holding that arm down, and you keep messing it up because every time I'd try to exercise my arm, it'd get so sore it would be, I digress. The problem today is the world and its ways are in the church, and the church has adapted it as God's way when it totally isn't. It is important that we pray for God's wisdom on matters because we want to stay in the Spirit and not just be operating mostly in the flesh and occasionally in the Spirit. It should be the other way around. Okay, well, a few more scriptures and we'll be done here. Okay. The Lord taught me through all of this. Here, I wrote this down, that I could depend on Him for anything or everything I needed. He was teaching me how to walk by faith, truly walk by faith, not go through the motions that all the faith people go through, but truly walk by faith. 1 Timothy 4, 8. I mean, I had people say things, but what if something's broke? I said, don't you think God can't fix broken bones? What'd they do before your wisdom showed up? Yeah, the devil always knows who to send, don't he? 1 Timothy 4, 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Because see, we're gonna live forever. In our spirit bodies, the real us, we're never going to die. That will never die. Now, we may throw this old coat off, but that'll be changed too at the end. This is a faithful saying and trustworthy of all acceptation. For we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who's a Savior of all men, especially those that believe. So he's saying here, you know, people put so much stock in diets, exercise, self-improvement, treatments, you name it, rigorous regimens of all kinds. Does this really add any years to man's life? Does it? No. Fact time, sometimes it's just the opposite. People blow their bodies out. Okay. Matthew 6. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Okay. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Matthew 5, 36. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea and nay, for whatsoever is more than that cometh of evil. That's kind of with your decree. This is the way it's going to be. Yes, it's this way. No, it won't be that way. Physically, you cannot do it, but spiritually, you can. Mark 11, 22. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Job 22, 28, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine upon your ways. This is how we need to live. When you arise and when you go to bed, call it the way it is to be, and it will be. When you get out of the habit of letting your flesh rule, and then your spirit will be the one that dictates the situation. It's a discipline. Just like learning to get your mouth under control, not speak, you know, the wrong words. Get out of the habit of doing that. Be encouraged today. I know that it is painful to not lean to the flesh because we have done that most of our lives. The Lord has to allow things to come so we can learn to overcome them. That's why these situations and circumstances comes. It's not because we've done something wrong or we're trying to be mean. I heard a man say this. In fact, I listened to Mike Thompson was on Sid Roth, and yesterday I decided to go ahead and listen to that. And there was a man on there that he was having dental surgery done, and he dies on the table, and he goes to heaven. And he talks about there's a lot of fire in heaven, and he talked about people. You know, Brother Hagin and Tommy Hicks talked about in the visions the people that were just on fire. He talked about the angels are on fire. They go to a certain place and get refired, and they'll go help people. So it's Holy Ghost fire. And the floor said it was emerald and it was on fire. You know, it talks about Jesus looked like his feet were burnished brass, like in a fire. So he's talking about the Holy Ghost fire there. And he said, the people that are the consecrated ones that decide they're not plain church, they have a real relationship with God. He said, it's like fire. And what the fire is doing is burning out everything in you that's not holy and consecrated to God. It's burning it out. So this is what this, it reminded me of what the Lord said here. It's boot camp. I mean, it's a holy, set-apart life. A disciplined, holy, set-apart life. And he said, there will be people, he told the man, there'll be people that will never be able to walk on the sapphire floor. Because they'll be the ones that said, well, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name and do mighty works? And I'll say, I don't know you, because, he said, they were not consecrated. In other words, they were the occasional Christian that just kind of on the surface that never truly gave themselves. Because with us, it's all in. You know what I'm talking about. We're sold out, all in. These are who he was talking about. So anyway, boot camp. We're getting better at it. I'll just be glad when boot camp's over. Yeah.